This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood to celebrate the renovation of a music legend's home, attend a unique Mardi Gras worship service with a renowned jazz musician, or enjoy an intimate cabaret show with a Broadway veteran, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The descendants of New Orleans' renowned rhythm and blues pianist, Professor Longhair, will soon be back in their house again. Eileen Fleming reports a major renovation has made it possible for his family and fans to have a permanent home.
The Stooges brass band welcomed dozens of people attending the unveiling of Professor Longhair's house. The one and only home ever purchased by the music legend is renovated, and his daughter, Pat Bird, and grandson, Ardell, are moving back in this week. It was a house that Bess bought in 1979. Pat was 19 at the time. And although he lived there less than a year, she remembers that he wanted her to make sure she kept it for the family.
My mom was a major factor here. She, too, on her dying bed, asked me to keep this house. Boy, I'm telling you, it was a struggle. I got frustrated so many times. I'm like, I'm not keeping this. I'm going to sell it. I'm tired. But it paid off. Good things come to those who wait.
It was a long wait. She struggled to make enough money to fix up and maintain the house. And then Hurricane Katrina did its damage. Thieves made off with her dad's belongings. And then she lost road home money to contractor fraud. But those hard times seem to be behind her now, and she preferred to remember her father and how he would have enjoyed the homecoming party.
If my dad was here, oh, girl, ma'am, the streets wouldn't be big enough. We wouldn't be doing interviews anymore, but I would definitely have to sing with him today if he was here.
Officials speaking at the dedication remembered the influence Professor Longhair had on rock and roll music, reflected by the Stones, the Beatles, and Elvis. New Orleans pianist Armand St. Martin remembered playing for Fess himself.
I was playing at Tipitina's the night of his last birthday party, the night he passed away. So I was the last piano player he saw. And it was an honor. He was a joyous person. It was like Pat. He brought love and joy everywhere he went. So humble. And when you hear somebody go, thank you. That's the way he used to do it, you know. He'd play the heck out of the piano, and the whole place would be jumping. Thank you.
Renovating the house was a 2-year effort undertaken by the Tipitina's Foundation. Managing Director Bethany Paulson.
I know that there were more than 140 volunteers who came from across the country to contribute. We did a number of different fundraisers at Tipitina's. Domino's Pizza was involved. United Way, Project Homecoming, and Tipitina's Foundation all did individual fundraisers to bring together the funding that was needed to finish off the house.
Renovation crews wanted to remove a mantle they thought was not historically appropriate for the home. But Pat insisted it stay. It was one of her father's favorite features in the home. His pictures are now displayed on that mantle, alongside some articles and artwork. Pat says she'll be opening a museum at the house in a room the family used for storage. What they called the shop will become a permanent home for his fans. For WWNO Inside the Arts, I'm Eileen Fleming.
On the Sunday before Fat Tuesday, there is a certain church on the corner of St. Charles Avenue at Broadway that will be packed to the rafters as renowned jazz clarinetist Dr. Michael White and the original Liberty Jazz Band will present a festival of hymns and spirituals, New Orleans style. St. Charles Avenue Baptist Church is celebrating its 20th annual jazz service. And joining me now to talk about this unique Mardi Gras tradition are Dr. Michael White and Reverend Elizabeth Lott, Senior Pastor of St. Charles Avenue Baptist Church. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
Congratulations on your 20th anniversary. This is one special hour happening uptown. What can worshipers look forward to?
Well, this is a very special service. It is a church service which features traditional New Orleans jazz. We play hymns and spirituals in the jazz style. Hymns and spirituals have always been an important part of traditional New Orleans jazz, played both slow and fast. And we play a variety of hymns, and there are some vocals and some instrumental feature numbers and a lot of collective improvisation and really a lot of fun, a lot of good music.
So am I hearing right? The pulpit becomes your concert stage?
Well, yes. You know, this music comes from God, and it's a way of honoring and celebrating together the gifts that we have. One of the great gifts I think that we have in New Orleans is jazz in our culture. So we share that. It's a way of honoring and celebrating at the same time.
So how did this jazz worship service get its start 2 decades ago?
The service started 20 years ago because I had a colleague at Xavier University where I teach who was a member of St. Charles Avenue Baptist Church. She was also a jazz fan, so she said, hey, we should put the church and jazz together, and perhaps a good time would be right before Mardi Gras. And just to kind of remind people that Mardi Gras is a great time, but we should also keep in mind that we should pay respect to the Creator. In a way, it's become sort of like the beginning of the climax of the Mardi Gras season for a lot of people.
Now, Reverend Lott, this is something that you recently inherited.
That's right. I'm new to town and have been here less than 4 months and have heard about the 19 previous years of this wonderful service. And I know the folks at St. Charles really look forward to this year will be March 2nd, that Sunday when worship is bumped up to the 9 o'clock hour and we minimize how much I'll be speaking. And we really do let the message be the sermon for the day. And I'm looking forward to experiencing it for the first time this year.
So there will be no traditional sermon? The music will be the sermon?
Not this year. In a few years past, there have been sort of a shortened homily. But this year, we're going to try experimenting with a little poetry and singing some scripture with that. But working with the spirit of the city and the spirit of the season and also highlighting the gifts of these musicians who are here to lead us in worship.
Now, you come from Mobile, I believe?
I do. Mobile, Alabama.
There's Mardi Gras in Mobile, but I don't think it takes place with a jazz service in the church.
No, that's true. So this will be a different flavor for me, but a similar essence. So I'm excited to live it for the first time, as folks have encouraged me to do.
Now, Dr. White, can you tell me what will you play?
Well, we're playing a combination of songs in the traditional jazz style, everything from Over in the Glory Land, which was one of the first recorded hymns done in jazz style. It was recorded back in 1927 by Sam Morgan's jazz band, which was one of the most popular dance bands in the city at the time. We're playing other traditional standards like Lord, 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 You've Sure Been Good to Me, In the Upper Garden. But we're also going to do one of my original compositions called Sunday Morning. Which I wrote a few years ago after Katrina, with the message sort of being a way of using worship and celebration for the city to recover. That's always been a popular favorite as well. And of course, we always close with When the Saints Go Marching In.
And you're performing with your original Liberty Jazz Band?
Yes, yes. I formed the original Liberty Jazz Band in the early 1980s when I saw a lot of the older traditional musicians sort of passing on. And originally, though, I actually did have a lot of older musicians in the band. The oldest three members were born between 1900 and 1901.
Wow.
And that was really a great thing. You know, they were legends in the music. People like Chester Zordis on bass and Sadie Goodson on piano. Louis Nelson on trombone. He was born in 1902. But we had a lot of fun with those guys, as long as they were around. So I continued the band with younger musicians, and we've been traveling all over the world. We've played many clubs, festivals, concert halls, and it's been great.
And what are you hoping will be remembered most from the service as we move toward Mardi Gras and the Lenten season?
Well, you know, a lot of people say that this is the highlight of Mardi Gras for them. Some people come in town just for the service. And we just like to remind people that this is a great time of year, but it is also a religious-based celebration, and it's very important.
And I'll say, as a pastor who has lived in Virginia for the past 10 years, leaving the Gulf Coast with a variety of Mardi Gras celebrations that happen down here, I have missed the balance of the celebration leading into the Lenten season and have tried every year to explain to Virginians what that feels like to go from parties to the starkness of Ash Wednesday. So I'm excited about the balance that we'll have in worship between Sunday morning and Wednesday night as we talk about, honestly, that we have all this light and darkness in us mixed together.
Jazz clarinetist Dr. Michael White and Reverend Elizabeth Lott, senior pastor of St. Charles Avenue Baptist Church. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The 20th Annual Jazz Service presented by St. Charles Avenue Baptist Church with Redeemer Presbyterian is led by Dr. Michael White and the original Liberty Jazz Band. The free worship service takes place on Sunday, March 2nd at 9 a.m. with a king cake reception to follow. 7100 St. Charles Avenue at Broadway. For more information, visit scabc.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm Diane Mack. Broadway veteran and two-time Big Easy Award winner Leslie Castay is looking at life through songs, reprising her acclaimed cabaret show, Leslie Castay Unscripted. She's here to talk about the unscripted moments in life. Leslie, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Is this cabaret adventure your life, unscripted?
Pretty much. You know, when I started putting together a show a couple years ago under the auspices of Barbara Motley and the late, great Le Chat Noir, I didn't know what sort of show would come out. It just started culling songs that I liked, things that meant something to me. And then through those songs that I gathered, I began to see a through line. I'm telling you, there's nothing like this little girl from Laplace walking into the stage door of the St. James Theater for the first time. Magical. Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway. Hippolyte and Ballyhoo, the lullaby of Broadway. And then I said, well, it makes sense to start at the beginning, where I came from, which was Laplace, Louisiana, the undoing capital of the world. And I don't know what possessed me, but something told me I needed to go somewhere else if I wanted to sing and dance and act on Broadway. So I ended up in New York, and the songs there evolve. And of course, I sing a couple of the songs from the shows that I appeared in on Broadway. And I tell this sort of amusing story of actually getting my debut in the original company of 42nd Street. It's sort of the end of the golden era of those old-fashioned musicals when Mr. David Merrick, this legendary producer, was still alive and he was sitting in the audience at the St. James Theater and he pointed at me. And then the assistant director kept saying, no, no, no. Not her. And he said, yes, 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 her. So 2 weeks later, I didn't get the audition that I auditioned for, the additional role. But 2 weeks later, there was another job available in the show. Thank you, Mr. Merrick, for pointing at me. And then I ended up on Broadway. So I sing Lullaby of Broadway as sort of just a wistful memory of those days gone by, of the first time you walk into a stage door coming from a small town like Laplace, Louisiana, and all of a sudden you're in the cast on a Broadway show.
Wow.
And it was just an intense, incredible story that so many young actors and actresses have experienced. But when it happens to you, it's pretty magical.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why did you choose to rework this cabaret show?
I just wasn't ready to say goodbye to these songs yet. I just adore the music that I've picked so much, and because they're so meaningful to me, and I think they tell such a great story, and I think there are a lot of people who missed it the first time around, and I'm just so pleased to have the opportunity to bring it back. Sue Gonsi and Fred at the Mid-City Theater have a cabaret month, so they asked me to kick it off, and I couldn't be more happy to do it.
So tell me, where are you on this journey of life? What's new?
What's new? Well, my children are growing older.
But not you.
Never. It's funny how that happens. We are raising our family. I am blessed to have had such wonderful performing opportunities here. Hollywood South has given us other work opportunities. So now I'm doing more film and TV down here, which I actually, frankly, didn't do much of that in New York. I did TV commercials in New York, but didn't really hit the audition trail for film and TV when I was in New York. But down here, I'm sort of blessed that I sort of get to do a little bit of everything now.
Isn't it something how you've come full circle and
it's
everything
amazing.
Has followed you?
It's amazing. And when you just live your life and trust the twists and turns, things will come your way and opportunities and blessings come your way. And you just have to be thankful for them and not be afraid and say yes.
Say yes. I like that.
Yes.
What range of songs will you perform?
I sing everything from classic Broadway to contemporary theater songs to pop songs to Great American Songbook. I sing some Irving Berlin. I sing some George Gershwin, Cole Porter, Stephen Sondheim, Carly Simon, Sting, all these great, great songwriters. And I think the common thread is that they all tell a great story. Every song I sing really captures a moment in time and a moment in life.
Now, you talked about Lullaby on Broadway, but mm-hmm. there's another cut that's close to your heart.
Yes. It's a great David Friedman cabaret anthem called Listen to My Heart. And I sing it about the time when I was just really a single girl in New York, wondering if I'd ever meet the man of my dreams, giving up on romance, and then you realize the man of your dreams was right there all along. So the song Listen to My Heart is really dedicated to my husband and those times, you know, that time in our life when we realized we were meant for each other.
Now, you left Laplace, you made it to Broadway, the bright lights of Broadway, but something attracted you back home. Why did you return to New Orleans?
About 10 years after moving away from Louisiana, from New Orleans area, I got cast in the first national tour of Beauty and the Beast. And it was scheduled to play the Sanger Theater for about a 6-week run, which was at that point the longest running show that had ever played at the Sanger since its initial renovation in the 70s and 80s. And I came down, and it was the longest period of time I had spent back in New Orleans, living and working, going to work every night, doing a show. I left New Orleans as a student. I never spent any of my professional life in New Orleans. And when I returned, I realized how much the city had to offer. And I loved it. And I loved being near my family. That sort of planted a seed of maybe one day I could return again. And of course, it took me 10 more years after that experience to actually find a way back. But 10 years later, I came back with my husband, my two kids, and not knowing what would happen, really thinking my performing days were behind me. Of course, that was in August 2005 when we moved back too. So right before Katrina, the boxes were still unpacked in our home when we had to evacuate. But we were very lucky. And there was no way I was going to leave after all of that. Friends of mine in New York said, oh, it would be easier. Why don't you just come back? We said, no, we're here now. We can't go now. We got to see this thing through. So 8 years later, we're still here and so happy. Don't regret a single moment of it.
So how do you imagine your second act?
Second act. I just hope it brings more surprises along the way. Don't know what's going to happen. And I just always keep an open mind, always looking for opportunities, something interesting, something that's going to excite your brain, exercise that creative gene that we all have, and just hope for more blessings of the same.
Is that the advice you would give to young people who would like perhaps to follow in your footsteps?
I would give them the advice to study as much as you can, to watch as much as you can, to take every performing opportunity that comes your way Don't say no, even if it's a small part, even if it's standing in the back on the last line in the show. Take it. You'll learn. You'll watch. You'll learn. That's how I learned.
Leslie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Here we are, you and I at last, in the right place, at the right time.
Save the date. Leslie Caste Unscripted returns for two nights, March 7th and 8th at Mid-City Theater, 3540 Toulouse Street, 8 p.m. More info at midcitytheater.com.
And I can finally share what's in my heart with you. Listen, listen, listen to my heart. Listen to it sing. Listen to my voice. It wants to tell you everything. There's so much to say. Don't know where to start, but if you want to know the love I'm feeling, listen to my heart.
And we have something extra in our Lanyab Corner, the New Orleans Black Mardi Gras Traditions Extravaganza. Hosted by Dr. Michael White, features Al Carnival Time Johnson, Daryl Montana Jr., Mardi Gras Indians, members of the Zulu Club, the Baby Dolls, Skeletons, and more. The free event is open to the public and takes place at the Xavier University Center. Third floor McCaffrey Ballroom, tonight, Tuesday, February 25th, 7 p.m. And the popular Mardi Gras festival known as Bacchus Bash, which precedes the Super Crew, takes place Sunday. Record crowds are expected in the Warehouse District at Generations Hall for the indoor-outdoor party, showcasing some of the city's best local bands. This year's Bacchus Bash begins at noon. The Top Cats, Flow Tribe, and Category 6 will perform with celebrity DJs throughout the day until the Super Crew Bacchus begins to roll. The outdoor portion of the block party is free and open to the public. The indoor VIP celebration takes place at Generations Hall, 310 Andrew Higgins Drive. More info at ticketfly.com. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.